Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'm going to be reading from Jeremiah 31, 33 through 34. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law on their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, because they will all own me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more.
I always love the challenge to preach the word, and I love the fact that here at Sunset, you can find that every Sunday, every sermon, the Bible is going to be preached, and we're going to spend time in the Word of God, and I hope you'll turn this morning to Matthew chapter 18, and that is where we're going to spend a little time looking at our text this morning as we introduce a new series of lessons called Behold Our God. We are going to spend the next 8 weeks talking about who God is, His character, and how we can become more like that. And I'm excited about this series that's coming up. Our Just God is next week. Our Jealous God is in a couple of weeks. I don't know when the last time that you studied that, but the Bible clearly teaches that God is a jealous God. I'm excited about all this series of lessons that we'll be doing about who our God is and getting to know Him better. But this morning, we're going to kick things off with our forgiving God in a story that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 18, beginning down in about verse 21. Where Peter asks the question, how often should he forgive? And Peter puts a little limitations on his forgiving. And Jesus reminds him that your forgiving is an infinite thing. It needs to continue all the time, no matter how much it is. And then Jesus tells an absolutely amazing story that gives us insight to who God is in the story about a king. And so if you're with me, I'd like for you to look at the text for a second, and let's look at a few verses as we go, and then we'll also narrate a few of those verses as well. Verse 23, Jesus says this, Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle his account with his servants. And he began to settle the settlement, and a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. And since he was unable to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had to be sold into debt. Now let's pause right there and let's unpack that for a second, because I think you need to understand what's happening here. You've got a king who has decided that I need to make sure all my books are in order. And so he is bringing his servants in to look at who's spent what and how much is owed back to him. And as he is calling into account these books, he comes across a servant that owes him. Now, this translation says 10,000 bags of gold. Now, Jesus' point here is that he owes more than he will ever be able to pay back. That's what Jesus is trying to get across. If you were a Jew listening to this story, if you were the apostles listening to this story, and Jesus tells how much this man owes, you would have been thinking to yourself, whew, that is a whole lot. Now, he is never going to be able to pay that off, because he couldn't. And that's the point of the story. This man has run up a debt so high that if he worked the rest of his life, he's never going to get all of it paid back. Just not going to happen. And so the servant is in trouble. And the servant realizes it. He probably hoped this day would never come. Because it's like, I will never be able to pay this back. I hope he never calls into account how much I owe. But the day of reckoning has come. And he has come to stand before the king. And the king says, you owe me and you need to pay this back now. And he says, I can't. And so he says, sell everything he's got because he can't pay this debt back. So what happens next is pretty incredible. Because the man does something that is kind of a Hail Mary pass. It's a last-ditch effort to call on compassion from this king. He can't pay the debt back. It's not going to happen. And if this was a courtroom full of the king's servants and the king's guards and everything else, when they heard that this was going on, they probably were shaking his head thinking to themselves, this guy is in big trouble. And notice what he does. Here's the servant, and here's what he does. In verse 26, at this, the servant fell on his knees before the king and said, "Be patient with me," he begged. "I will pay everything back." Now, the king knew he couldn't pay everything back. In fact, the people, if there had been a room in there with a whole bunch of other people, they'd have been going, "Yeah, right, you're not going to pay that back. It can't be paid back." But the only shot he's got, the only shot the servant has, is to beg for some mercy to see if the king will be gracious here. And I want you to note what the king does. So here is this guy, and he just throws out this quick lifeline of, here's my last ditch effort to the king of getting at least, you know, let me work and I'll pay you back everything I can before you die. And here's what the king tells him. Notice down here, verse 27, the servant's master, that's the king, took pity on him. And notice this is big. If you're a circler or an underliner, you need to underline this word: canceled his debt. Notice it doesn't say he told him he had to work really hard and pay back as much as he could. Didn't say that. He canceled his debt, completely wiped it off. The guy got off without having to pay anything at all back. Incredible story. And again, those people around in the courtroom, if they had been there listening, they would have gone, "No way! Did he just get off with this huge mountain of debt, and he just got off?" Now, here's what we need you to understand. Here's what I need you to catch this morning. First thing, right off the bat, you need to understand. The first part of this story that Jesus is telling is an illustration of your life and my life. It needs to be. It needs to be who we are. Because in the story, the king is God and you and I are the servant. I want you to think about that for just a second. We are ruled in this universe by a holy God, by a righteous God, by a perfect God, a God that we learn about in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that there is no imperfection in him at all. He is pure light. He can't handle any darkness or any sin at all. And if you know anything about me and anything about you, we have some sin. We have some issues. We have some debt. If you know anything about us, we make mistakes, if that's what you want to call them. But what we find out is that even one mistake is lethal. I want you to notice, sometimes in life, we tend to be people who think that life is like scales, that faith in life and just someday standing before God is like scales. That if we do more good things than bad things in our life, if the scale weighs more in the good side than the bad stuff, then we're going to be okay with God because we did more good than we did bad. But that is very unbiblical. It doesn't work that way. Because we're taught in Romans chapter 6 in verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. That's a singular sin. For the wages of one sin will cost you your spiritual life. It doesn't matter how much good you do after that, it will never cause that scale to balance the other way at all. You're in trouble. I'm in trouble. And I can tell you this, I'll be honest with you, you probably know this, and I think you'll admit it too, I've messed up more than once. I've made more than one mistake. I have more than one sin to count against me. And so you may think, hey, as long as I do a bunch of good stuff before I die, then I'm going to be all right with God. Doesn't work that way. You see, you can't pay back all the things that you've done on your own without outside help to pay back what's happened. You've got this huge mountain of moral debt. You've got this huge charge card that you've rung up against a holy God, and it's coming due at some time or another. There's going to be a time where you're called into account to give account for those sins. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 tells us just that. And doing good things doesn't fix that debt. The servant could have gone out from that day forward and just said, hey, I'm going to just go say nice things about the king, and I'm going to try and do some good things. It would never erase that big debt that he had. Let me give you another example. If I charged $100,000 on a charge card at Dillard's, I went and bought a whole bunch of new clothes, $100,000. I have no way to pay that back. And so I thought to myself, okay, here's what I'll do to make this right. I will stop charging on the charge card, and I will just show up on Monday at Dillard's, and I'll just kind of help out around there. I'll open doors, I'll greet people, I'll say welcome to Dillard's. If there's some trash on the floor, I'll pick it up. If there's something that's off the rack that needs to be straightened, I'll put it back on the rack. The Dillard's folks would go, Trey, thank you for that, but you know what we really want? We want our money. You doing good things around this store is not going to cover the debt that you've rung up. You need to pay your bill. That's exactly what we're talking about right here. You've got a bill you can't pay back. And if you stop sinning today and said, hey, I'll just do good for the rest of my life, it will never swap those scales around to where your good outweighs your bad, because you've sinned and I've sinned. Now, if you're anything like me, I'm going, I need some outside help. Well, that's where it gets good. Because what takes place is just like the servant in the story who drops and goes, help me, give me mercy, give me a chance. When you and I do that before that holy and righteous God, before that forgiving God, God forgives our debt. Now let me explain what that means, okay? So when I was younger in life, I came to the realization that I'd messed up a lot and that I needed outside help, that I couldn't fix this moral debt that I had piled up against God, and all the good I do for the rest of my life isn't going to make this go away. So I begged God for mercy. I confessed Jesus as my Lord and followed him and said, I want to give the Lord my life, and was baptized and had my sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And God forgave my huge mountain of moral debt. It's incredible, isn't it? That at some time or another, you came to the realization that I need God. I can't do this without Jesus, and I have got to have help. And when you realize that, and you fall on your knees and go, God, I need you, and you confess Jesus as Lord, and you give him your life, you repent of your sins, and then you're baptized, all of those sins are washed away, just like the servant. So this last Friday night, we had five young people that had come to be baptized. And it was absolutely phenomenal. We had somebody studying with one of the young men by the name of Rich. I think they're here this morning. And then he began to talk to his friends about the same things that they were studying. And they all decided, hey, we need to be baptized. We need outside help. Well, it just so happened one of the young men named Valentino, who was here Friday night, came to watch his friends be baptized to give their life to the Lord. But as they were being baptized, I was giving a little sermon to each one of them. Here's what it means to be a Christian. Here's what it means to have your sins forgiven. And I was talking about, we need outside help, and we have this forgiveness through Jesus. And we got completely done. And they were all, those five were changing clothes. We were about to pray and celebrate a little bit. And Valentino looked up and goes, what do I need to do to be baptized? It hit him. It all came down. You could just see it in his eyes. He said, what do I need to do? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, I need to be baptized right now. It's like he said, I need outside help. I can't do this on my own. And I said, you believe Jesus is Lord? He said, I do. You ready to give him your life? I am. I said, go get your clothes changed. It was a good night. When you come to the realization that without Jesus, you got no shot. You can't help but do what Valentino did. And he had tears rolling down his cheeks when we were done. And I loved it because his heart was going, yes, I feel relief. That debt has been forgiven. Things are right with God now. And I think it's fantastic. Now, here's some little sub-points I want you to get. I want you to understand about forgiveness that you need to know. If you're following on your outline, you'll get these. Number one, the motivation for God's forgiveness of your debt is love. It is because he loves you that he forgives you. It's not because he owes you. It's not because he's forced to. It's not because he's obligated to. He forgives you because he loves you. That's his character. And Matt Gloy is going to talk about that at the end of our series. It's his character. God is a God of love. He loves you. It's his character. Now, second thing that you need to catch right there is that the means of God's forgiveness of the debt is Jesus. Meaning, he can't forgive you without that outside help, and that outside help is Jesus. So here's something I want you to catch this morning that's really huge. And if you can get this morning, if the light bulb comes on and you understand this morning, then you're going to go, wow, I didn't understand that about the gospel. And maybe you've already got it, but listen to this for a second, all right? So I want you to think about the servant in the story. The servant in the story, when the king forgave him, he didn't just get off scot-free. Somebody still had to pay his debt. Meaning somebody still took it on the chin because he didn't pay his debt back. And that person was the king. Does that make sense? The king never got his money back. He had to take one for the team, if you want to call it that way. And so there was still a price to be paid. Even though the king let him off, the king said, I'll absorb your debt. Now, in the story, Jesus is what absorbs our debt. You see, just because you and I get off and we're forgiven doesn't mean someone didn't have to pay. The king still paid, that king being God, and he paid with his son Jesus. It cost him his son in order for him to give you the forgiveness that you want. The crown of thorns, the whipping, the name calling, the crucifixion, all so you could have that forgiveness that we're learning about in this story. The servant was not punished for his wrong. He didn't even have to pay it back. It was just removed. Someone paid his price. It was the king. And someone paid our price, and it was God. It was his son. The extent of God's forgiveness of your debt is complete. Davey read a while ago from Jeremiah 31, verse 34, when God, which is re-quoted in the book of Hebrews, when God forgives, he remembers your sins no more. That debt is gone. He doesn't bring it back up to remind you. That's Satan that does that. God doesn't do that. I visited with a guy a long time ago. We were just talking about marriage, and he goes, yeah, when my wife and I kind of get to arguing, she gets historical. And I said, do you mean hysterical? And he said, oh, no, historical. She starts bringing back up everything I've ever done wrong. Can I just tell you, God never gets historical. When you've been forgiven, that extent is complete. And I don't know about you, but that is a blessing to know that I no longer have that in my life. You know, you may have heard, because I did when I was a kid, that someday in judgment there'll be this huge projector shooting on this screen of your life, and it's going to show every bad thing that you've ever done your entire life, and you're going to be so embarrassed. Can I just say, that's not true. If God has forgiven you, if you have given the Lord your life, if you have confessed him as Lord and been baptized, there's no projector. Those things don't exist to God anymore. I don't know about you, but that's good news for me. His extent is complete. Now, I need to tell you this. Kind of like Bill's lesson last week with Jonah in chapter 4, I wish Jesus would have stopped the story right there. Because the rest of this story becomes the scariest, I think is one of the scariest stories in the Bible. It literally gives me chills. sometimes keeps me awake at night. So notice what takes place and what we find out, because the first part of the story needs to be who you are. The second part of the story better not be who you are. So look at what, let's pick up in our story and let's look in verse 28. The servant who has just been forgiven this huge amount of moral debt, by the king, goes out, verse 28, he went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. And he grabbed him and began to choke him. And he said, "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. And his servant fell to his knees, just like he had done just earlier, and said, "Please be patient with me, I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay back the other debt. That's a little hypocritical, isn't it? Keep going. When the other servants, the ones that seen the man do this, servants of the king, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged. They went and told their master, the king, exactly what happened. Said, "This guy you just forgave went out and choked his brother, someone else, over a little measly debt." So here's Jesus, and he says, he gives you this 10,000 bags of gold to say he can't pay it off. And over here, I want you to understand, this debt that is owed on the second debt here is just a little measly debt. It's really no big deal. And yet the servant is willing to throw another servant in prison for it. Notice what the king does. So the master called the servant in and said, "You wicked servant, I canceled this debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had you?" And in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back what he owed. Notice this one. Scary verse, verse 35. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister in your heart." Wow. Talk about a scary text. But what God wants you and I to understand is because he has forgiven us of such a huge moral debt, he expects you to do the same to others. He says, "If I've forgiven you this massive amount of debt and I've forgiven you, you can't come over here and choke somebody because they didn't start your kid in high school on the sports team when you thought they should. You can't have all these little piddly grudges out here." God says, that's not going to work that way. Why does God demand that we do this? Why is God being so harsh and saying, "Man, you got to do this"? It's because he paid such a high price for my forgiveness and your forgiveness that he demands that we do the same. It's not costing you a son to forgive anybody else. It cost God a son, but it doesn't cost you a son. He just says, because I've forgiven you, you better forgive other people. We should be the most forgiving people in the world. Honestly, Christians who understand this should be the most forgiving people in the world. You can't justify shaking your fist at a guy who hurts your feelings. You can't, in your head, choke some person in school because you thought they did your kid wrong one day at school. You can't hold a grudge or keep a scorecard of these $5 little debts against people because they've hurt your feelings in one way or another. We should be the most forgiving people in the world. We've asked God to forgive us so much. How can we not forgive back? And you may say, "Trey, what about people who don't apologize? That's really a bad reason to withhold forgiveness." So I want to take just a second for the last little bit of our lesson, just for a second. I want to give you a quick test. You may be going, "How do I know if I've forgiven?" All right, so here's three or four little things that I want you to catch for a second, just to kind of ask yourself these questions to know, have I forgiven like I should? Number one that I want you to understand is the opportunity to help test. So if you're thinking back to yourself going, "Ooh, ooh, this person kind of did me wrong once, and do I still harbor a grudge? So test number one says, if this person was in trouble and needed help, would you be willing to help? If you can say yes, you probably pass that test. If you go, there is no way I'd help that guy, then you probably failed. Second test, the only thought test. If when their name comes up, if the only thought you have about them is bad and negative, and you can't think of anything good, you probably need to think about being a better forgiver. The next test, the revenge test. If in your head you dream at night, you just dream, you would never do it, but you dream about revenge. Oh, I would love to get even with that person. If that's a dream you have on a regular basis, you probably have not forgiven. This is a scary test, isn't it? Look at the last one, failure test. If they failed in life, if they had a problem, if they got fired from their job, would you be excited and happy about it? Or would you feel bad for them? Because if something bad happened to them and you go, hey, that's karma, then I guarantee you, you haven't passed the failure test. Now let me say this just real quick because you need to know this. If you have just been hurt recently in a bad way, you're still processing this and you're going to fail this test, but I just want you to know, be patient with yourself. In time, you're going to get past this. So what I'm trying to tell you is, hey, give yourself a little bit of grace if you've just recently been hurt and you're going, yeah, I'm struggling with all of those things. But if you're sitting here going, yeah, Trey, thanks for giving me a little grace. That guy hurt me 10 years ago. Then you probably need to, that's probably not you that I'm talking about here. If this is something that you hadn't got over in 40 years, then at some point you got to give them to God. Turn it over to the Lord. Forgive them and move past. And if they're guilty, God's going to take care of it. Let him be the one that handles it, not you. Move on. So there's two people this morning, two groups of people that need to respond. And you know, you can respond this morning by coming forward. That'd be great. You can respond where you're sitting right there. But the first one, hey, if you have never come clean on your mountain of moral debt, for the wages of sin is debt. If you have never done anything about that, if you have never confessed Jesus as Lord, if you've never given him your life, if you've never been baptized to have that debt washed away, you got to do something about that. And you need to do it soon because Hebrews 9:27, we're all going to be called into account before God, and your day may be coming soon. You may need to respond this morning going, I'm ready to be baptized. I'm ready to give my life to the Lord. The other group, maybe those people who need to forgive someone. You may can do it right there. I've had folks in my past that have hurt me. I'm thankful I have worked through those things. I don't harbor ill feelings toward them anymore. I'd be happy to help them if they had issues. But I know that there's going to be times in the future that somebody's going to say something, and I may have to work through some stuff. But I'm telling you, if you're here this morning and you fail that test miserably over something that happened a long time ago, that's an old hurt, maybe you just need to stop while we're singing this morning and pray right where you stand, Lord, help me to forgive them. I turn them over to you. This is such an incredible text because it tells us about who God is. We learn about what an awesome God we got who forgives us. And I need that forgiveness. But we also learn that God expects us to be forgivers like he is. We're going to learn in this series about the character of God and who he is and what that means to us. And we're going to also learn that God expects us to become more like that. And it's going to be such a good series. Behold our God. If you're here this morning and you need to respond in any way for prayers or if you're ready to give your life to the Lord, if we can help in any way, would you come as we stand and sing this invitation song?